What went into the decision with Greg Olson? Was there a final straw?
I don't know a final straw. I think that, you know, we're constantly evaluating. We evaluate our players. We're evaluating our scheme. We're evaluating our calls. You know, we're constant evaluation. Sometimes by weeks or an extended period of time, you get a chance to reflect at it. And I think that's what I tried to use this whole weekend to do, was to look at a lot of things that were taking place. And I just think that as the weekend went on or the day went on, things that were just became clear.
What became clear? That was there a disconnect between how you wanted a game to be called? And
no, I think, you know what, it's I think there's things that you look at, just like, you know, with the where we were going offensively. And I know you say, well, both sides can struggle at times. I think it was just a bigger picture in that. Just from here, where are we going? And I just felt like the offense needed to be stimulated more in certain areas. And I didn't know. Ole is a great friend. He is a great coach. He's proven that. You know, last year did some very good things for us and was a tremendous asset. I just think with our team and where we're at right now, the direction we wanted to go, we just wanted to have a little bit different vision.
You guys aren't going. You aren't going downfield a lot compared to last year. Was he not running it enough?
For no, you? I think I'm not going to get into all those things. I think we wanted to have a little bit different vision. And, you know, after going through a lot of things, it became more clear to me the direction we wanted to go. It wasn't anything, you know, between players and coaches. It wasn't anything like that. Just felt strong that this was the direction.
What was your player reaction this morning?
You know what? It was good. I think they were, you know, shocked. I'm sure for me, I'm guessing everybody heard it, you know. I think I sat in the offensive meeting, and, you know, obviously players care for their coaches. And Ole had great impact on everybody in that room. So I think there's a part of them where it's, you know, anything other than sad. I mean, it's tough, you know, and no different than when you cut a player that's close to the team and he leaves. So players experience it. Coaches experience it. I think it's the world we live in. But then once we got started, I think there was, you know, excitement.
What changed for you from 2 o'clock on Friday afternoon when you said no to Saturday?
Well, I knew that,
it's hard not to think that you had some sort of inkling or there was some doubt in your mind in some respect.
I think at that time, Gene, I looked at it and said, I've got to go through a full evaluation, you know, or as much as I can in this period of time. And to take a look at as much as I can. And I think that, you know, we started looking at things and gathering information and putting some things together, and then it went more into that direction, is the best I can say. You know, I didn't know where the direction would take me. You know, I didn't know what was going to take place. I didn't want to lead to speculation, nor did I, at that time, did I think there would be a coaching change. I think just as I gathered information and then had conversations with, you know, I did. I try to share things with Shad and Dave and keep them up to date. We've always talked about transparency and share them some things that were concerning to me. And, you know, but it's still my decision. It wasn't Shad's decision or Dave's decision. It was one that I had to feel comfortable with.
How much was, you know, when you fired Jed a couple years ago, there was obviously a philosophical problem there. Was it with Ole? Did he tune you out at all?
No, it was nothing like that. Our relationship was very good. It's challenging. You know, I don't know anything other than that to say, when you have people you're close to and you believe in and know they're a good coach and a situation comes up like this, it's challenging. But I also know when I look at the team, when we make changes with players, when we make changes with coaches, I always have the perspective what's best for this team and where we're at right now. And I think after taking that period of time to look at, I just felt like this is what's best for the team.
This is a challenge for Hackett. What's your directive to him? What does he have to prioritize?
We had a great meeting, but I didn't involve him until after the decision. So, you know, I called him and talked to him about it and said that was the direction we were going. And so it did. It kind of caught him off guard a little bit because I didn't involve any of the coaching staff with this decision. So the conversations we've had, we have not talked during the season. I've not talked to him about what he thinks. I don't do that with coaches. I just called him up and talked to him about, hey, what direction would you go you know, and how would you go about it? So it was very good. I thought it was very clear which direction, and I thought it really meshed with what we needed at this point.
What do you mean you don't talk to other coaches? Is that about the scheme?
Or? Yeah, no, I talked to coach about scheme, but I'm not going to go in and say, hey, Nathaniel, how is Greg Olson doing? You know, or, hey, Doug, how do you think John? I don't get into that practice. But we always challenge about, hey, what we could do, and our staff challenges one another. But I'm not, just like I won't call a player in and talk to about another player. If I got a problem with a player, I'll talk to that player.
You talked a lot about the definition of insanity, keep doing the same thing. You think there was a sense that making a change shows that, hey, we're not going to keep banging our head against
the players? Right. I think there's some of that. I think I will say that, that I looked at and I said, okay, you know what? Offensively, it feels like I'm not sure what's going to change next week. I just didn't feel like, you know, where we were going. And, you know, I just couldn't grasp in my mind that, you know, the results are going to change if we continue going in this direction. And I just didn't feel like personality, philosophy-wise, the change would take place.
Do you think you would have made this change had your quarterback's coach not had play-calling experience?
I think this was a big part of it. I knew when I interviewed Nate, you know, so to say I don't have to, you know, God, you only met with him for an hour. Well, I interviewed him. And I think that you always set up your staff that if someone takes on another job, that you have somebody replace them so you can stay within the same system. And so, I had a pretty good feel for Nate. He was very capable.
Go ahead, Mike.
How does this change make Blake better? How does it make him?
Well, I think that there is a great relationship with Nathaniel and Blake, and I think that's important. But Ole did too. Ole worked with them a lot. But I think that Blake feels very comfortable. It's challenging for him too. He cared about Ole. And, you know, Ole was a big part of his success, personally. But I think also at the same time, he's very excited about Nathaniel. I think as they spend a lot of time together, they see that there are, you know, it's going to be a good transition and they're on the same page. So I think that part will be beneficial to Blake.
Is it moot, though, that if he doesn't play better, it's irrelevant? Who's calling plays? I mean, if he doesn't.
Well, I think it's, yeah, I said, you know what, I told the offense, I said, okay, you know what, we made a change, but, oh, okay, now we're good. No, it's not like that. It's still, players got to make plays, and we all have to take responsibility on this. This was not solely Greg Olson. We had MEs, we didn't make plays, we dropped some balls, we missed some opportunities. I mean, this was everybody involved. And I think I made the decision just basically on the direction we want to go from here.
A couple times this season, you and Ole have said, we need to simplify what we're doing, pare it down a little bit. Did you guys become too simple that teams made it easier to figure
out? No, I don't think so. I think, to me, it's when I look at it, we want to play hard, we want to play fast, and we want to play together. I didn't see that part. I haven't seen that part offensively this year. That's my philosophy, and I wanted to see us play at that level. And it seemed at times that it was an offense that grew with every opportunity more and more frustrated. And I think I didn't know if that could change.
The play hard part. Was there an effort problem?
No, play hard is understanding your responsibilities and executing at a high speed.
Is there any concern this will be Blake's third offensive coordinator in 3 years?
Yeah, you don't want to make a lot of changes, you know. But I think this one, because of their relationship, and that, I mean, our plays, without getting too much, it's going to be a different feel, but it's not going to be different verbiage, you know, the formation. So I think that transition will be relatively smooth, but different in how we go about things.
Usually when you make a change like this, the new coordinator wants to make some changes in personnel. Do you envision any other changes on the offensive line or receivers?
You know, we're always looking at that, but I think maybe how we utilize guys might be different.
How much freedom does Hackett have to install his own stuff with such a short window between games?
Well, I think that was our conversation. So we know, we've got our system in place, but then within that system, how we want to go about it, you know, we've had great conversations about that. That's pretty clear.
Changing gears, Fowler, you talked about the penalties, but just overall, forgetting the penalties, where is he at production-wise with what you'd hoped he'd be?
Well, I think, it's always a learning curve for him. Yeah, I want him to clean up that aspect of the game, you know, some of the foolish penalties and I think the consistency in play. I think he shows flashes where you look at him and he's very strong, he's very explosive. And then there's times that you scratch your head and say, you know, why is he doing that at a critical time? So With some of our players, though, we're seeing that, and that's the part we got to get corrected.
There were some people who thought he had some maturity issues coming out of college. Have you seen him grow up in
maturity
still
on the field or off the field?
A little bit of both.
Okay, well, I'll deal with the ones on the field.
Okay.
I think that that's part of it. Sometimes with a young player, you get caught up with it. I'd like to say it's a youth thing, but I think we have some veteran guys that at times aren't making smart decisions. So, but there is a transition sometimes with young players that when they get on the field and they might not make the wisest decisions, but usually see it clean up. And I see a little bit more of a conscience with him, but not right where I want it yet.
Is there a sense of entitlement from some of the younger guys in the locker room?
Entitlement in what way?
Just that they can get away with certain things. I mean, when they're causing.
Well, I think if they have that, that's an issue, because they're putting themselves ahead of the team, and it's very selfish. So I would like to think they aren't thinking that way.
Would you be more involved in the offense during the week?
Yeah, I think I'm trying to be, you know, in both, so I have a good feel for what both sides are going through. So I usually jump in and out. Today I was more in the offensive meeting.
Dealing with all this, are you guys behind where you would normally be preparing for Kansas City, considering you played on Thursday?
No, not at all. We came in yesterday, and, you know, Saturday was more the day that I looked at things. We gave the coaches, you know, they worked all day Friday. Some of them came in on Saturday, but for the most part, they're out. And then yesterday was a full day.
So you have a jump start on the Chiefs.
Yeah, you take advantage of that. Yeah, we have to wait till this game comes in, you know, so, but we get an extra day of practice.
Was there a sense of disconnect with the players on offense, either with Blake or with Ole or the whole thing? You know what I mean?
For me to say that the offense wasn't frustrated, that we haven't met expectations, yeah, they were. I mean, there was some frustration. I mean, we had high expectations, and I think everybody would look at that and say we weren't meeting those expectations. So was there a disconnect on that? I think everybody agreed that, in my conversation with Ole, I mean, it wasn't a conversation. I think we just both talked, and it came, to that point where, you know what, we had these expectations, and it's one thing if you feel like, hey, it was a one game or a two game, some things like that can happen. But it just felt like from listening in meetings and seeing the players and how they're playing, it was more of a feel and putting all the information together for me. I just wasn't confident that it would go back into the right direction.
Is this the last card you can play to turn this around this year? I mean, you're stuck with the, I can't make any major trades or anything like that. Is this the last time to try
to spark it? I think, again, I don't look at it as a time frame. Oh, okay, it's right before here, we got to do. It's not that. It's when things come up and you take a good hard look at, and that's what I told you, I think we want to make rational decisions and decisions what we feel are best for the organization and for this team. Let's think about this. Let's not make one out of panic. Let's not make it out of being stressed out. Let's not make it out of that. Is it truly best for the team in this situation? And so when you say, is this the last, I don't think that way. If there's something that comes up and we need to make a personnel change with a player, or someone comes up and we can get them off the waiver wire that we think is going to benefit our team, we're going to look at that.
Follow up on Bortles. There was a national report. One source says he called him a basket case.
Who called him basket case?
A source to a national media outlet. Assuming you disagree with that, where do you think your quarterback is mentally right now?
Well, I said, I think we'll see. He'll get a chance to meet with Nate, and I'm going to visit with him. I know him, both Nate, Blake and I visited over the weekend. So I don't know what the source.
Do you like where he's at mentally? Do you think he's?
Well, he's like everybody on the offense.
No.
I think when I just said, I think offensively, guys are frustrated, but don't take that in account that they're not competing and they're not saying, let's get this thing changed and let's get this thing rolling. And there's just a few things. But when I sat in that offensive meeting, I didn't feel that. I felt like, okay, you know what? It's not just all on Greg Olsen. We share the responsibility. But I think in that meeting room, it was like, you know what? It's a tough business. It is a business. By the way we play, it affects people's lives. It affects players' lives. And you know what? Let's take responsibility for what took place. It's unfortunate, but let's get back to work. And it was more of that approach.
Guys, on Thursday night, you and the players, the immediate reaction was a lot of, I don't know what's wrong. I don't know what we can do to fix it. Last few days, have you found some solutions? Do you think where you can at least try to take
a clearer picture? a clear picture. You know, I think that as I took a look at things and put it together, again, I didn't want to involve a lot of people in it. You know, so it's not like I went to a bunch of coaches and a bunch of players. I took a look at things and then just had some long conversations with Greg and you know, and then I talked to some, like I said, to Shad and Dave. And I don't want to say that I made the decision at Friday night and Saturday morning. I think there was some things that you evaluate throughout, and you just got to get a feel for the direction you're going. And so you might have some feelings, and I think when you have extra time, it either clears up or you were wrong, and it wasn't the truth. And I think it just became clearer for me.
How about the totality, not that decision in terms of the staff, but the totality of what's going on and the last couple of games and the way last week went, really? Do you think you found some things on tape?
We looked at some things on tape, and all three. And I think there's some areas, too, and I think that was conversation, especially offensively, with Nate and I. Yes.
What made you had a couple of veteran assistants on the staff. What made Hackett the right choice?
Good. His relationship with the quarterbacks, his knowledge of the passing game. I think his relationship with the receivers and the running backs, since he's dealing with the quarterbacks, so he's dealing with them. And I think that the offensive line, you know, with protections, you know, because he's in there involved with all the protectioning. So he's been in, he knows all the position groups, and they know him, and they know his style.
His relationship with Marone, you think that that'll help?
I think it's good. I did talk to Doug after I made the decision. And involved him on it, like I did with all the other coaches. But I felt, you know, that was important to see how he would work, and there's some comfort level with him working with Nate.
Shad really seems to believe in the process and maybe even the culture here. Is that the sense you get from talking?
Yeah, I do. Shad, it's a challenging time right now. He's unbelievable. What do I say? But he wants results, and I do feel like the message he feels strongly, both Dave and him, feel like we can get this done. And whether other people believe, I don't know, but I know that's his belief. So, I know that the way we played on Thursday night was not something that I'm going to put at the top of life events that has taken place. It's challenging. It's challenging. But I also know that when you have support like this, you're like, you know what, we've got to do things right for this organization and for this fan base. And the fan base, you say, Gus, what would you say to the fans? You know, you've asked me that. You know what, I thought a lot about what I would say to the fans, you know, these last couple of days and how much I appreciate them. And I'm saying, you know what, these are tough decisions that we have to make, but it's what's best for this organization. And I do believe our fan base needs for us to get this thing going. And we're going to compete to do it, and we're not going to shy away from difficult decisions to do that.
Last one. No takeaways in three games. The pass rush has sort of dried up. What are you seeing that's not happening? What needs to be fixed?
Well, consistent rush and the push, I think, up front. You're right. I do believe those things will come. You know, the first game we didn't have much, and then we got on a roll. So I think those come. I just want to make sure that we're being attack mode up front. And when teams get you, it'd be nice to get them one-dimensional. It'd be nice to get a lead and force them into passing situations so we can pin our ears back. I think that's what was impressive with our offensive line in the Thursday game, though, is that we were in pass mode. We had to get some points. And when a defense can pin their ears back and get after our quarterback, and we're sitting there, I think we threw it 54 times in a game. I mean, you take any element of surprise away for the offensive line. And for the way they're protecting, pretty good. And that's why I think it's important, again, that we have that. And we have to get that element of surprise back in to help our offensive line.